Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Hey, it's good to be in church this morning. It's great to be here. It's good to see all your smiling faces. Who's ready for Easter? Easter's next week. Today is Palm Sunday. And, you know, Easter's such a special time, and obviously it's because we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. We celebrate that he's done what no one else has done. He's come back from the grave, victorious, all for us. We celebrate that. But also Easter is such an important time because the whole world is talking about Easter on Easter. And so, you know, I know that you probably have friends, just like I have friends, who don't come to church, who don't know Jesus, but need to, right? And so this is the perfect opportunity to invite them. But sometimes inviting people to church, you know, maybe you have somebody, you've invited them a whole bunch of times, they haven't come yet, right? Or, you know, somebody's just like, never, ever, I'm never going to go to church. But you look at their life and you think, man, what you need is church. Yeah, so who's ready to do something a little fun today? How many want a little help inviting your friends to church? Pastor Devon, I got a tool right behind that door. If you'll go get it for me. You guys ready? We're going to do something a little bit of fun. Everybody fix your hair. Make sure you got on, because it's Selfie Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And look what Ben gave me, a selfie stick. Right. I mean, don't we need, so everybody get your phone out. Get your phone out. Here we go. We've done this one time before. Who wants to be in charge of this section? Who's got long arms over here? There you go. All right, so this section, okay, get up, up, up. That's what I say to my dogs in the morning because they don't want to get up. Get up, up, up. All right, now come down. Everybody get together. Let's do a selfie on this side. And then we're going to outdo them, of course, right? We're going to outdo them, my side. All right. Selfie Sunday. Get in the picture. Get in. Here we go. Come on. You guys look good. You look good. It doesn't have to be super organized. Just get your head in there.
Get your head in there.
That's what a selfie is. Just get your head in. All right, Tim, we got to have you in there. All right, Ben's, Ben, he's in the back. You got him. All right, here we go. You want to borrow my selfie stick? Here, you can borrow it. Here you go.
There you go. Where's the button to press?
No. It's a cheap one. You got to push the button.
All right.
You want me to push it?
Yeah, you have to. Wait, hold on. Ben, we're missing you, bro. Okay.
Squeeze in.
We gotta.
Ben, help us out.
Yeah, bro.
Ben knows how to take selfies.
We know.
There we go. Yeah.
Ben, just take the picture for me.
There we go. All right. I lean in on the edges. Lean in on the edges. Brother Tim, lean in. All right. There we go.
Come on, man. Am I touching it?
Yeah.
All right,
okay, we got a couple.
Crazy shot.
Ah! Oh,
yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Right. I say crazy shot, and these guys are here like, but Jared got crazy. Jared's like,
yes.
And then Anthony's just the same. All right, come on, team. Selfie shot. Now, you're probably wondering what we're going to do with these. We're going to share them, and you're going to say, hey, look where I was. Come to church with me. Hey, while you're over here, get your own phone out and take your own selfie. All right. Where's Ben? Ben, I need your help over here. All right, we're going to use the timer because we're smarter. Oh, no, Ben's going to take it for us.
Isn't it a groupie now?
Yeah, it's kind of a group. Here, come up front. He doesn't bite unless you're dating his daughter. That's the only time he gets angry.
Yeah,
here we go.
I date my daughter and I love you, brother.
All right, ready?
All right, ready?
3 seconds. Oh, I did a crazy one. Do another one.
Crazy? Get crazy.
Wait, I didn't do, did we do crazy?
No, it's not crazy.
I didn't
crazy.
Do crazy. Okay, this one's crazy.
Crazy.
That's how you do it.
All right. Now listen, here's what Ben's going to do. He's going to put these on Facebook for us, and then you can share them with your friends and say, hey, come with me to church next week, huh? Right? And they're going to see how much fun your church is because it's selfie time. Because you know how many got all your friends? Most of your friends are on Facebook, right? Or Instagram or something, Graham, right? They're somewhere. Or you can email them the picture and say, hey, I was at church this week. Come with me next week. You can sit with me. And we won't take your picture. But we're going to have some fun with it. We're going to put these on Facebook, have fun with them all week long. And just be constantly inviting people, because they say that people on Easter, even people that have said, no, I don't want to come to church, but on Easter, people are more open. And it's not about filling the church. It's not about having a big attendance. Those things, it's not about that. It's about people coming in and hearing the gospel. Amen? I don't know about you, but church changed my life. I heard the gospel, but man, it was church, it was teaching, it was fellowship, it was friends, it was church that changed me, because church has the gospel in it. So, you know, you say, oh, you know, we just want to fill it up. Sure, we want to fill it up, because we want people to hear the gospel and hear what they need, to be set free from addiction, to be set free from shame, to be set free and realize that they've been redeemed. Those people that just keep trying to pay the price for their own sin, we want to tell them the good news, yes, that the price has already been paid. Amen? I tell you what, I love church. I've given my life to church because I know the power of church. And you know what? So I just encourage you, this is the time, this week is the time to get out there. And people that have told you no, I've got people that have told me no a million times. And they always say, oh, I have to work. Aha! Their place is, Publix is closed on Easter. So I tell you what, I'm going to be going shopping all this week because I got some cashiers I've been working on for months and years, you know? And they're always like, oh, I got to work. And I'll be like, uh-huh. You're closed this Sunday. I want to see you at church, right? And so I just encourage you to use this as an opportunity to grab people in, because it's all about the gospel, amen? It's all about people getting to know Jesus. That's what it's all about. How many in this room today, Jesus changed your life? But the Bible says, how will they know unless they hear? And how will they hear unless somebody goes? We got to get out there. And you know what? We can get out there through our social media. We can get out there through everywhere we go this week. And you can get out there by, look at these awesome cards that the guys made. They did just such a good job. And they say, celebrate Easter with me this Sunday. Celebrate Easter with me this Sunday. When you invite somebody, don't just say like, hey, man, here's where I go. If you want to come, you know, go. I mean, you know how you do it? You say, hey, this is my church. Come to church. I go to the 9:30 service. Come meet me by the coffee pots and we'll sit together. That's how you do it. Amen. And if you really want to like just go crazy, just say, if they say, I don't have a way, I'll pick you up. You say, oh, man, Pastor Peggy, you are putting me out. But listen, you invite somebody that doesn't know Jesus, and they come in here and they hear the word, and you're sitting by your friend, or you're sitting by that cashier, or you're sitting by that waitress, or you're sitting by that neighbor, or you're sitting by that teacher, or you're sitting by that somebody that you just bumped into, and when that altar call comes, I give you permission this week to peek. You know how we always say, close your eyes? But on Easter Sunday, close one eye. Because when your friend raises her hand and receives Jesus, it's going to be the best Easter you ever had. Amen. Amen? It's going to be the best Easter you ever had. And whatever you had to do to get them here is worth it. Amen? Because it's not just about one day. It's about their eternity. Amen? And so I just encourage you. We got some tools all this week. We are just going to be pounding social media because everybody's on there just with reminders. Hey, invite somebody. Pray to invite somebody. Who are you going to invite? And also we got these cards. Grab these. Give them out to everybody. And then make sure you share your selfie, right? Share your selfie and tell everybody where you've been at church. Because you know what? The world is not getting more lovely. It's not getting more lovely and kinder and gentler, is it? It is not. It is not. It is getting more bitter, more vicious, and just tougher. People need Jesus. They need what you have. They need who we have. Amen. They need Jesus. And so this Easter, I just encourage you. All last week, the Lord impressed in my heart for 2 weeks to pray and to fast for our Easter service. And some other people have joined me with it. I encourage you, join me now. Pray and fast this whole week. And we've been here every morning at 8 o'clock and just either sitting or pacing. You know what we've been praying for? The lost and sheep without a shepherd. We have just been pressing in because the Lord has just impressed on me that every year people need Jesus. But I just there's an urgency in my spirit that people need him so much more now than ever. And so, you say, well, how do I pray? If you pray in the spirit, just pray in the spirit. Or just, if you don't, just be thanking God that people who need him most find him this Easter. Either here or at other churches, at Christ Fellowship, at Life Church, who's ever preaching the word? Amen. Who's ever preaching Jesus? Let's just pray for those places that people come in and they receive what they need most. Amen. Turn over your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That's our text scripture for this series that we're doing called Jesus Is. And today, in honor of Palm Sunday, and I remember when I got into church, I had no idea what Palm Sunday was. I had no idea. And maybe you're here today and you're like, I don't know what it is either, And that's okay because everybody's there one time or another. But the good news is you can find out today. Palm Sunday is the beginning of Passover. How many been to Publix and saw all the matzah crackers, right? Yeah. Right? It's Passover time. And so Palm Sunday is when Passover, or Holy Week is called, begins. And so this is the day that Jesus triumphantly entered back into Jerusalem. He entered back in and they were calling him the king. They were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. And as he came in on the donkey, they were putting palm fronds. Hello. You getting it? They were putting those on his path so that it's because he was the king and they were making the way for him. And in this week that we're getting ready to enter into, everything changed. He came in as the king. He came in being glorified. He came in being worshiped. But by Friday, he's being crucified. And so today we celebrate what he came in to do. He came in there to understand what Palm Sunday and Jesus is the Lamb and Passover, to understand what all those things mean, you need to go back a little bit into history and remember what even all the Jews in the world now are going to be celebrating Passover. And what that is, it's a time, how many remember the story in the Old Testament in Exodus where the Passover, where they would put the lamb's blood on the doorpost, and then the angel of death would, say it with me, pass over their homes because there was a plague that came because Pharaoh would not release the children of Israel. And so Moses told him, he said, listen, you better do this. God's going to release these plagues. And so one of them, and the one that finally got Pharaoh to bend and to let the people go was that the firstborn of every family died. And so God said for the children of Israel, he said, we don't want that. How many saw the movie The Ten Commandments? How many saw it? We should watch that movie this week. If you've never had your kids watch it, I encourage you to have your kids watch it. And one of the things to remember is as you're watching that movie, it was before computer-generated effects existed. And so what they did in that movie is just amazing. It's amazing. But anyway, there's an angel of death and he's going through. And so God said, in order for the children of Israel not to succumb to this plague, to this horrible thing, he said, if you will take the blood of the lamb and paint it above your doorpost, the angel of death will pass over your home and there'll be no death in your home. And so from then on, the Jews, they celebrate. And one thing that we can really learn from the children of Israel is celebrating and honoring what God has done. Because they celebrate and they honor what God has done. And so now they celebrate Passover. And in Passover, there is a lamb. There is a lamb. And here's what happens with this lamb. The lamb has to be perfect. It can have no spot and no blemish at all. And when they get that perfect lamb that has no spots, no blemish, no defects, no birth defects, no coloring defects, it's a real lamb, then they take that lamb and they sacrifice it or they slaughter it. And then they eat it. They celebrate with their dinner, the Passover. But Jesus chose that day to come and to say that he was the lamb. We no longer have to get baby lambs, perfect baby lambs, to sacrifice to God. We don't have to do that anymore, because when Jesus came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he was saying, I am the lamb. We just sang the song, Good, Good Father. One of the lines is that he is the lamb that was slain. And so we're going to look today at what that means. What does it mean that Jesus was the lamb? And what does it mean for us? And how do we make sure that we're getting the most out of what Jesus has done? How many want to do that? I want to get the most out of what God's done for me. I want to understand it. And you know what happens when you understand something? How many have ever had somebody explain something to you? You have no idea what they're talking about. That happens to me often, you know, often. With my husband, he knows all about computers and electricity and just, you know, complicated things that, you know, frankly, I just really don't care about, you know. I just want to turn the light on and I want the light to work. You know, I don't have a key in my car, but I want to push the button and I want it to come on. That's the depth of my knowledge about it. But you know, when you don't understand something, it kind of goes in one ear and out the other, and you're just kind of like, okay, all right. But when you understand something, it has the potential to change you. And that's why it's important that we understand the word, because the more I understand it, the more potential it has to change me. All right? And so here we go. 1 Corinthians, this is our text scripture here. Jesus is the Lamb. And we remember Paul writes here and he says, you'll remember, friends, that when I first came to you, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. Paul says, I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus and who he is, then Jesus and what he did, Jesus crucified. And so when we look today, we're beginning to look at Holy Week and when Jesus went to the cross. And so turn over your Bibles to John chapter 1. We're going to look at verse number 29. John chapter 1, verse number 29. An interesting thing about the lamb, Jesus being referred to as the lamb, that it happens over 400 times in the word, and it's mostly in the beginning of the Bible and at the end of the Bible. Isn't that interesting? That Jesus is referred to as the lamb. And here in John chapter 1, verse number 29, it says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, if you don't understand how a lamb correlates to sin in the Bible, then you don't understand the power of the scripture. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And I'm going to explain to you today why it's just so powerful. And the first thing we got to understand is so important. How many have ever heard people say Jesus was perfect? Jesus is perfect. Jesus was sinless. He had no sin. And it's important that you know that and that you believe that. Because remember when the children of Israel, when they would have to have that lamb for Passover, it would have to be inspected. And how many know the story of when Jesus, you guys all know the story, it was in Holy Week, when Jesus went into the temple and he got the whip out and he turned the tables over and he pushed people out of the money, they were money changing, and he was all bent out of shape. How many know this story? Here's why he was bent out of shape. Because people would come from all over and they would have to show their perfect lamb to the priest. And the priest would have to approve it and say, yes, this lamb is spotless. This lamb is perfect. But here's what the priests were doing. They were saying, oh, your lamb's got a problem. Your lamb's got an issue. Your lamb's got a spot. They were saying that perfect lambs were imperfect. You know why? Because they were selling them. And so people that were coming in with perfect lambs, suitable for the sacrifice, these priests were saying, no, you can't use that when you got to buy one of ours. And that made Jesus really mad. because they were taking advantage of his people. And so when we see here, we have to know that the lamb was perfect. In Exodus chapter 12, verse number 6, it says this, "Take care of them," talking about the lamb, "until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight." And then in Exodus 29:38, it says, "This is what you are to offer on the altar regularly each day, two lambs a year old, offer one in the morning and the other at night." This was a big business. But here's the thing, and you know what? A lot of times people are still doing that. You know, and here's how you know, and as I was praying and meditating this morning, this just popped up, and I'm going to step on a toe. You ready? But it's going to help you. It's going to help you. Here's how you know if you don't understand the power of the sacrifice Jesus made. Here's how you know. Here's how you know that you need greater understanding of what it means to receive what God has done for you. And it's this: you constantly carry shame. And here's how some things are going on the inside, but they show up on the outside? Here's one way this shows up on the outside, that you don't understand the power of the Lamb, the power of the blood of Jesus, the power of the crucifixion, the power of the resurrection, is if you are always feeling you need to get born again. You know, sometimes, and I know the heart of it. I know the heart of it because people are like, "Oh, I just want to be sure." But so often, you know, not a lot, but every once in a while, someone will just, every Sunday, they feel like they got to get born again. You're like these Israelites. You got to sacrifice a lamb in the morning and a lamb at night because you're still on lamb time. But I got good news for you. It's found in 1 Corinthians. You guys want to read it? 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, "For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." Say, "My Passover lamb."
My Passover lamb.
My Passover lamb has been sacrificed. The blood of Jesus, the sacrifice that God made for you, the salvation of your soul, the change of your life. You've been made a brand new creation in Christ. And so when you miss it, when you make mistakes, you don't have to get born again. We don't have to go sacrifice another lamb. You follow me? You don't have to go sacrifice another lamb. You don't have to go pay for it again. You don't have to feel the guilt. You got to know that the power of the Lamb of God is big enough and great enough to take care of you wherever you are. You just got to turn to him. And that's why it breaks my heart when people feel like that a mess up and a mistake and will just totally ruin everything that God has done for you, and you got to start all over again. You don't. It's like the Old Testament people. They had to do one in the morning to cover any sin they had for the night. And then they had to do one at night to cover any sin they had for the day. And it was constant. They did it every day. Every day. But the Bible says that my Passover lamb, Jesus, has been sacrificed once and for all. Once and for all. And so I say that to say, I just encourage you that if you struggle in that area of never feeling enough, you're not realizing that it's the Lamb who was enough, not you. It's the Lamb. Amen. But it's important that we know that our Lamb was perfect. Here's why. Because only perfect can be a substitute for imperfect. See, if Jesus had flaws, if Jesus had sin, then he would need his own lamb, right? But because he was perfect, he is a suitable sacrifice for all of our imperfection. And that's why you have to know and you have to believe that the lamb is perfect. Jesus was without sin. Jesus was without error. Jesus was without any wrong. He was perfect. And why is that so important? Because, you know, the culture of today and religion and those who are doing what Paul said not to do, they're all into the philosophy and the complicated explanation. They're all trying to say, oh, well, Jesus had this. And, you know, people are trying to say that Jesus had a wife. And Jesus, those are lies from the pit of hell. That is not the word. It is not the word at all. Because no man could remain perfect if he had a wife. That's the truth. See, I gave you guys one. You got no big amen from the man. Nothing. Wow. You guys are too afraid of your wives. On the inside, you're like, oh, that's right. The lamb was perfect. In Exodus 12:5, it says, the animals you choose must be year-old males without defect. You may take them from the sheep or the goats. It says they have to be without defect. And then 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, it says, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Listen to the next part. A lamb without blemish or defect. Jesus was without blemish or defect. He is perfect. He is perfect. And he is the lamb that was slain for us. And so when we hear those songs and you hear talk about Jesus being the lamb, you got to remember he is coming to say there's no more need for animal sacrifice. There's no more need for you to carry the burden. There's no more need for that. I am the lamb. I'm the lamb. I'm going to take care of this once and for all. Jesus paid the price for all sin of all mankind on himself. Oh, isn't that powerful? It's so powerful. And so when we think about the lamb was perfect. The lamb was sacrificed. Hebrews 10:10 says, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. Only the blood of Jesus can take away sin. And that's why everybody needs him. And so when we look at the Lamb of Passover, we know that the Lamb had to be perfect. We know that the lamb was sacrificed. And do you know that on Passover Sunday, when Jesus went to the cross on Friday, which is Passover, it's always the same. When he went to the cross on Friday, that when his blood was spilled, they crucified him at 9 a.m. And do you know that all through history, from the beginning, from Exodus on, do you know what time the lambs were slaughtered for the Israelites? You know at what time the lambs are slaughtered for Passover? At 9 a.m. And on that day, all through, we all saw the movie, The Passion of the Christ. We saw the Jesus movie. And you saw that all the people would come. And the place would just be filled with people for Holy Week, for Passover. It's huge. It's a huge, huge thing. And so all these people, so think about it. All over that place, all over that town, lambs, their throats are being slit. At the same time that the lamb was being sacrificed for us. Because Jesus is saying, I'm the lamb. There's no more need for that. Because that blood covers. His blood takes it away. His blood saves. His blood redeems. His blood makes us brand new creations in Christ Jesus. There's no more doing it in the morning, doing it at night, doing it every day. No, there's no more of that. Jesus said, I'm paying the price once and for all. Once and for all, Jesus paid the price. Oh, he's so good. God is so good. And so we think about the lamb. The next thing that's interesting, and as you study the Passover, and you know that now, when you study Passover for the Jews, for the Israelites, you look at it and you see that the Passover, every time you see the lamb, when you understand that now Jesus is the Lamb, it gives you a fuller, greater understanding of all those things that God had them do for that celebration. And one of the things about Passover and the lamb is that the lamb had to be consumed completely. Had to be consumed completely. And so if you had a small family and you had this lamb that you had sacrificed and then you put it into the oven and all this kind of stuff, you did all that. When you did that, the Bible says that that lamb had to be consumed completely, that none of it could be left over. And so now we're thinking about a regular lamb, you know, like a lamb chop. We're thinking about that, and that's what it is for Passover. But then when you understand that Jesus is the lamb, you see where God's going with this? He needs to be consumed completely. Consumed completely. There is enough Jesus for all of us. Amen? But how many know there's a whole lot of people that haven't taken their portion? They haven't taken their portion. And so the thing about the lamb had to be shared. If you had a small family and you couldn't eat all the lamb, it had to be all eaten that day. You had to invite people. You had to invite people from here and from there and say, come eat my lamb because it has to be consumed completely. And so now Jesus is the lamb. And we need to invite people and say, hey, come help, come have part of my lamb because you need it. Yeah. Amen. Over here in Exodus, just to get an understanding of it, Exodus 12:4, it says, if any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor. And then it goes on to explain that it has to be consumed. It was the law. Remember, the Jews live under the law. They live under the rules. They live under all of that. And so it had to be consumed completely. But then in 2 Corinthians 5:19, it says, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. The message of Jesus has been committed, has been given, has been made a mandate to who? To you and me. You and me. Just like the children of Israel, they had to share their lamb. They couldn't just say, oh, well, as long as we have enough for us, that's good. We'll just keep all the rest. No, God forbid that. And you know what? Here in the New Testament where you and I live, where Jesus is the lamb, he's saying, listen, the message of reconciliation, the message of Jesus, the message of the lamb has been committed to you. You know whose responsibility it is to talk to your neighbors? Yours. Mine. It's my responsibility to share the lamb. Because the lamb needs to be shared. You know, I heard somebody say this, I thought it was so good. They said, every church that preaches Jesus is too small. Every church, they said, Joel Osteen's church, which is the largest church in America or the world, I'm not sure. But they said, every church is too small. You know why it's too small? Because the lamb must be shared. The lamb needs to be consumed. We should not let any of what Jesus has done not be consumed into the lives of people. Isn't that the truth? And so the lamb needs to be shared. What's my job this week? Share the lamb. Amen. Share the lamb. Let people know I've got something good and you want a piece of it. You want a piece of what I have. You want a piece of the gospel. You want a piece of the life-changing power of Jesus in your life. It's my job to share it. He says he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Man, think about that. I mean, this is the most important thing there is. It determines your eternal destiny. And you can sit here and you can be checked out and you can talk and you can have your mind somewhere else. That is your choice. But God is watching and God is saying, what are you doing with the Lamb of God? Amen. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with the knowledge of Jesus? What are you doing with it? Are you just making sure your family's okay or are you making sure everybody's okay? Because the message of reconciliation has been committed to us. The Lamb must be shared. You say, is there enough? Jesus paid the price for sin for the whole world. Never look at somebody and think they're too far gone. Their views and their ideas are too far out there. Their lifestyle is too crazy. They're too contrary to the word. They're too closed off. They've said no too many times. Jesus himself went to the cross for that person. His blood was spilt for that sin that you're judging so harshly. Amen. and it needs to be shared. The lamb must be consumed. And so we have to share him. Because there's enough Jesus for the whole world. And you say, well, what do I do? Well, let's pray. Amen. Let's pray. Because I know that you know people. I know people that need Jesus. I know people that are kind of in, but they're just, their mind isn't there. And, you know, I read a quote yesterday when I was just in study time, and it said, your heart cannot be in what your mind is not on. Isn't that good? Your heart cannot be in what your mind is not on. And so often people, they just, they're we talked about it on Wednesday night, they're just, you know, they got like one little toe into the body of Christ, and then they're wondering why everything is so crazy in their life. It's because that little toe isn't going to do it. We need to walk up behind him and just go, psh. You know, you ever done that to somebody in the pool? Just walk up behind them, psh, make sure they don't have their phone. You know, just shove them in. But the thing is, you say, how can I shove people in spiritually? Through prayer. Prayer can do what you can't do. Prayer can touch the heart of that friend that you can't touch. Prayer can change the heart of your family member that you've been working on for years, and you've been talking and talking. Listen, they're done with you talking. Is they don't want to hear you anymore. Anybody got some relatives like that? I know I do. They don't want to hear you anymore. And so don't give up, but do what God told you to do. Pray for them. And so I just encourage you all this week to just be, you know, I know everybody here probably has prayer time, to just be praying and asking God to touch the lives of people. You know, pray for an open heaven. You know, the Bible talks about an open heaven, and what that means is the barriers that keep people from receiving and hearing from God, they're removed. I tell you, that's my prayer for next Sunday's service. Because there's going to be people in here that we've never seen. There's going to be people in here that we haven't seen for a long time. There's going to be a whole lot of people in here that need Jesus. There's going to be people that are kind of in, but not all the way in, and they need a shove. There's going to be people that just came because you asked them. They're going to need to hear the gospel. And so all the barriers and all the things and all the distractions and all the people talking and all that kind of stuff, I just pray that it stops and that there's an open heaven. Amen. And that there's no distractions. There's nothing that would keep the word of God from penetrating their heart and changing their life. And so when you're praying this week, and I know everybody here probably prays, just whether it's a minute or 3 minutes or 10 minutes or an hour, just spend some time and thank God for that open heaven. Pray and ask the Lord to move, not just in our church, but in every church. Every church is preaching the gospel. And I say that because every church doesn't preach the gospel. You guys know that, right? I say that. So every church that preaches the gospel, let's pray for them that there's open heaven in their service. And I'm going to give you a scripture here. I don't know if you guys have it up there. It says, 1 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God, little g, who's that? That's the enemy. It says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. And as we pray, you know what's going to happen? Those blinders are going to be removed, just like they were for you, just like they were for me. Those blinders that are on your kids' lives are going to be removed. Those blinders that are on your family members' lives, those blinders are going to be removed. And that same person that we've been talking to and we've been believing God for and we've been ministering to for years is just going to be like, ding, I get it. I get it. How's that going to happen? It's going to happen through prayer. Amen. It's going to happen through prayer. So I encourage you to pray that the God of this age is defeated. He is rendered powerless, and that the blinders he has on the eyes of the unbelievers are removed in Jesus' name. Just say that. And then thank God for it. How many got a friend who's blind to the things of God? Amen. Prayer works. Prayer can do what you can't do. And then I encourage you to invite somebody. Invite somebody. In Romans 10, 13, and 14, out of the Living Bible, it says, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But who can ask them to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells him? People got to hear the gospel. You know, when we look at some people and we roll our eyes or on the inside, we're like, what is wrong with that person? They don't know the gospel. And how are they going to know it unless somebody tells them? And I'm not saying you've got to give somebody a big message and explain to, just invite them to church. Let us do the work for you. Amen? Just invite them to church. We'll do the work for you. But you pray. We'll all do that together. We'll all do that. And then listen, next week, like I said, we're going to have lots of different people in here, people we haven't seen in a long time. This is the Sunday to participate. Sometimes you have to show somebody how it's done. You got to show somebody how it's done. It's not the time to check out of worship. It's the time to show the people around you, hey, you may not have been here before, but this is how it's done. Watch me. Watch me. Right? This is the time to participate, to be a part of the service. And I know that everybody here, you participate every Sunday, but you know, just make sure that just watch out for people, because you know, there's nothing more uncomfortable than being in a situation you don't know what to do. Right? What do I do? Am I supposed to sit down? Am I supposed to stand up? And people already feel uncomfortable because they got all that condemnation, which is not from God. Amen. It's not from God. They got all that, oh man, you know, just everything they've ever done wrong, the enemy is constantly bringing up while they're here. And so pray for people, love on people, and show them how it's done. Amen? And so every year, for the week before Easter, we do what we call the walk to the cross. How many have done it with us before? Every year we do it. And so I just want to encourage you that this year is no different. I have some papers for you guys. I want to hand them out to you. Let me see if I have one. Oh, can you hand me one of those? And we got more of these. But just it's a week to the cross, because it's a week that we go. And on Monday, I encourage you to just, as we call it, celebration. Say a prayer of thanksgiving for 10 things you're thankful for in your life that's worthy of celebration. Celebrate your born again. Sometimes you can be born again for so long, you forget how great it is. You know, ever done that? Where it is, just sit in your chair, you know, as I was preparing for this and thinking of the lamb, and it's talking about the lamb was slaughtered. The lamb was slaughtered. And you know, if you really want to think about it, the lamb, we'll pass those out at the end, guys. Hold on to those. The Lamb of God, he was slaughtered. Jesus was slaughtered. You know, sometimes, you know, we see the movies and, you know, and it's like we don't understand what Jesus went through. And as we prepare for communion today, let's think about that. A true word would be slaughtered. The Bible says in Isaiah that he was so marred by his beating and by everything that he went through. He was so marred that he no longer looked human. You know, some people in the movie, The Passion of the Christ, they got so uncomfortable with how much beating and torture that he went through. Some people could barely even sit through it. And one person, when we were leaving, I was like, oh, how, you know, that was such a great movie. You know, everybody's crying. We went to see it as a church when it first came out. And I remember this one lady, she was like, that's just overboard. She said, that's just overboard. And I looked at her, and I had just seen the movie, you know, so I was pretty passionate about it. And I said, that probably didn't even do it justice. Jesus took the sin of the world on himself. How do you feel when you've messed up and you've sinned? How do you feel? You feel like crap. You feel like, oh man, I can't believe I did that. You know, I mean, you do. I mean, thank God for the blood and thank God for his forgiveness and he's the lifter of my head. But when, man, you just feel bad, right? Imagine having the sin of the world on you and being beaten the way that he was. Oh, we have no idea. Do you know there's a book, it's a MD's look at the crucifixion. And do you know what Jesus actually finally died from? His heart ruptured. He died from a broken heart. That's the truth. His heart ruptured on that cross. He died for you and me. We have no idea what he went through for us. So celebrate that you're born again. Amen. On Tuesday, it's compassion. When Jesus was going into the city of Jerusalem on the day, on the most important day of his life, on the most important day a week of his life, when he was going in, he was stopped by two men who needed him, and he stopped, and the Bible said he was moved with compassion. They said, "Have mercy on us." And he did. Have some compassion on some people. On Wednesday is the time really to just evaluate. This is Holy Week. Let's make it holy. Let's not let this just be another week. When Easter comes, let's have spent the whole week remembering and honoring and preparing ourselves. Let's evaluate and let's ask ourselves, what's really important to me? What do I value? You know what you value? What you spend your time and your money on. That's what you value. And so ask yourself, am I valuing the right things? Are godly things valuable to me? And then Thursday, connect. Spend some extra time connecting with God. And ask yourself, who can I connect with and invite him to church? And then last thing is Friday. Take time to remember that Jesus died for you because of his great love for you. He died for us so that we could truly live. And so all this week, let's not let it be a regular week. Let's let it be a special week, a holy week. And the only way that happens is if we do something different this week. Amen? And so let's have the ushers pass out communion for us.